Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Borosil Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Edelweiss Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Praveen Sahay from Edelweiss Broking. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Ranju. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining to the earnings call of Borosil Limited. On behalf of Edelweiss, I would like to welcome management team of Borosil to discuss the result and outlook. We have with us today Mr. Rajesh Chaudhary, Whole-time Director, Mr. Anand Sonthalia, CFO, and Mr. Swadhin Padia, General Manager, Finance. I would now request Mr. Kheruka for his opening remarks, post which we can open the floor for Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Kheruka.
Okay. Thank you, Praveen and Edelweiss for hosting this call. Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be interacting with you all again. Borosil Limited's board approved the company's financial results for Q1 FY23 on August 8. Our results and an updated presentation have been sent to the stock exchanges and have also been uploaded on the company's website. Borosil has made a very strong start to FY23. Our consolidated revenue from operations during the first quarter ending June 2022 was INR 216.2 crores. That's a growth of 57% over the same quarter last year. Of course, you're aware that last year Q1 was adversely impacted owing to lockdown, owing to Delta wave of COVID. Moreover, if we compare the revenues of this year to FY20, that would probably be a better like-to-like comparison because that was the year there was no COVID. That's April to June of 2019. If we compare our April to June 2022 revenues to April to June 2019, we will see the revenue is 216 crores versus 129 crores. That is a 68% growth. If we were to do the computation of the CAGR, the three-year CAGR of revenue from the pre-COVID period, it shows to about 20%, which is a very, I would say, excellent performance, growing at 20% CAGR right through COVID. During the quarter, the company achieved a consolidated EBITDA before exceptional items of INR 29.2 crores, which translated to an EBITDA margin of 13.5%. Profit before tax was INR 26.1 crores, and this includes an insurance claim resulting in an exceptional gain of INR 5.1 crores. During the quarter, Borosil recorded a consolidated PAT of INR 19.4 crores as compared to a loss of INR 1.9 crores during the same period last year. As we grow our business, we also target to improve our capital efficiency. Operating capital employed in the business, that is capital employed without investments, was INR 594 crores. During the quarter, the company earned an operating profit before exceptional items and before income from investments of INR 21.1 crores. That translates into an annualized operating ROCE of 14.2%. This is expected to be higher in the subsequent quarters as we move into the festive months. It's important to note that we have a seasonal business and quarter-on-quarter growth doesn't really reflect. It's more the same quarter of the year versus the same quarter of the previous year, which is more reflective of performance. Coming to our business-wise performance, Borosil's consumer business comprising glassware products and non-glassware products under the brand Borosil and its opalware range under the brand Larah recorded sales of INR 148.7 crores. That is a growth of 77.6% over Q1 FY22. Sales of glassware products were INR 40.7 crores. That is a growth of 82% over the corresponding period. Non-glassware grew by 106% over the same period to reach a turnover of INR 59.5 crores. Opal glassware under the brand Larah achieved sales of INR 48.6 crores. That is a growth of 50% over the same period in the previous year. Of course, like I said, growth over the same period in the previous year is not strictly comparable given the environment at that time. It's also important to note that probably our brand Larah sales could have been higher had it not been for constraints in our capacity of production and a new furnace is likely to be expected in November of this year. We continue to face inflation in direct costs, particularly in landed costs of materials consumed, as well as power and fuel expenses. Consequently, there's some decline in the gross profit margins. However, with increase in sales, operating leverage has started to kick in, and the EBITDA margin for the consumer products division during this quarter, Q1 FY23 was 12.7%. We believe that once the current inflationary pressure eases, our brands can hold or even increase pricing to expand margins. At this juncture, the focus of the company is to expand the franchise of our brands. It is bringing more users into the category of glassware and upgrading and converting users from plastic and melamine into glass storage and opalware. We continue to introduce new products to expand a range of offerings, such as in high-grade steel on the go products or even in domestic appliances. With Borosil and Lara, we aim to become the brand of choice of the modern Indian kitchen for everyday use in storing, preparing, cooking, heating, and serving. Moving on to the scientific products business, net sales during the quarter Q1 FY23 were INR 67.5 crores, a growth of approximately 25% over the same period last year. Here, it must be noted that last year itself was a reasonable period of performance, and we don't need to really look at pre-COVID timelines for this. Our scientific products business comprises three product ranges: lab glassware, lab instrumentation, which is under the brand LabQuest, and primary glass packaging under the brand GlassPack. During Q1 FY23, lab glassware sales were INR 41.5 crores. That is a very good growth of 48% over the same period last year. LabQuest was 5.4 crores, which is a growth of 20.7%, and GlassPack was INR 20.7 crores, which is a decline of about 5%. During Q1 FY22, conversely, GlassPack had actually experienced a one-time bump up in sales, owing to a spike in demand for packaging related to COVID-related drugs. EBITDA margin for the scientific products division during this quarter was 15.2%. One must also note that this is also a seasonal business, and the margins are the first quarter is the slowest quarter for the business historically. The company has identified a number of levers to ensure long-term sustainable growth in the scientific division. In the lab glass consumable segment, there's an increased demand post-pandemic. There's improved funding to government-run labs and institutes, which have been cut back in budgets over the last couple of years. The government's push towards procuring on the government e-marketplace, that is GEM, is seeing traction. This channel reduces the risk of receivables and could potentially improve order flow from the government directly to Borosil. Borosil has also entered into the filter paper market, which was so far dominated by a single player. And this market can be easily serviced alongside lab glassware. And the approximate market size, as per our estimates in India, is about 110 crores in this market. Under lab instrumentation, the company has identified two new subsectors of nutrition and environment and process systems to generate new businesses. There's an increase in food testing and food testing laboratories, partly owing to change in food laws. Several developments in the context of environment, such as more stringent ETP norms, groundwater, river rejuvenation, and soil testing, are providing company opportunities to introduce new products to service evolving testing needs in the country. And this will all be serviced with the LabQuest brand, and we are quite bullish on the future demand in these areas. As of the quarter end, the company had net cash of about INR 165 crores. The surplus cash should be utilized primarily for the ongoing expansion projects for the consumer and the scientific business. Work is well underway in most of the projects. However, owing to disruptions in international supply chains, largely on account of China's zero COVID policy, as well as now the Russia-Ukraine conflict, there's some delay in the implementation of the projects owing to a delay in receipt of critical items. Moreover, inflation in fuel and a number of inputs such as steel has led to increased freight and also landed costs of input materials. Also, the company has chosen German technology for better quality of products, which results in some higher project cost on the borosilicate glass furnace. The expansion in Lara's capacity at its Jaipur plant from 42 tons per day to 84 tons per day is now expected to be commissioned in Q3 FY23, that is instead of Q2, and the estimated project cost owing to aforementioned reasons has increased from INR 175 crore to INR 195 crores. The new borosilicate press facility of 25 tons per day in Jaipur, which was expected to be commissioned by the end of the financial year 22-23 is now likely to be, that is by say March of 23, is now likely to be commissioned by June of 2023. And here, again, owing to aforementioned reasons, the project cost has escalated from INR 75 crores to INR 115 crores. This, however, includes some additional scope of work, like I said, which includes some German technology to incorporate superior capability in the factory, and as well as enhancement of our production infrastructure, where we are putting the entire infrastructure for 40 tons per day furnace. We will be starting the 25 ton per day furnace, but which will allow us to quickly upgrade from 25 to 40 tons per day at a much lower capex in the future. In the scientific products division, the company has plans to create capacity in glass tubing due to uncertainty in global supply chain as well as increased costs. In addition to this, it also plans to increase its capacity in pharma packaging under Glasspack to 500 million vials and 700 million ampoules per annum. The capital outlay for these two projects combined is estimated to be about INR 170 crores. We had earlier announced plans to restructure the business of the company into two separate listed entities via a composite scheme of arrangement. I'm happy to say the company has now received observation letters from BSE and NSE conveying no adverse observations or no objections on the scheme. The company is in the process of filing the scheme with the NCLT Mumbai bench. We anticipate that the entire process can be completed by March 2023. However, the time for some of the steps are involved are not in our control, and we'll keep you informed on the progress in this regard. Overall, we remain very optimistic about continuing to achieve sales growth, healthier margins, and improving ROCE in the medium to long term. The consumer business is supported by tailwinds and remains an underpenetrated market, providing Borosil a long runway of growth. The scientific business is expected to see steady growth in lab glassware, and we are quite excited about the opportunities we are now seeing in lab instrumentation, in pharma packaging, as well as in the new categories of process systems. This will provide a fillip to the scientific division's growth trajectory. Also, I'd like to conclude my opening remarks by saying that we feel that India is well placed in the global context as a bright spot with relatively lower inflation, as well as a very resilient demand scenario from an economic perspective. And we believe that this is going to be a strong, I would say, second half of the year, even in a difficult global environment. So with that, I'd like to throw the floor open to questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rahul Dani from Monarch Network Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir, and congratulations on a good set of numbers. Just want to check, sir, in Opalware, is there a possibility for an outsourced manufacturing to bridge the current gap in production?
Yes, there is a possibility, Rahul, and we are evaluating it, and we expect to bridge the next quarter with some outsourced stuff.
Okay, that's great. And just want to check, sir, how do you see commodity pricing now? Have you taken further pricing action?
Look, commodity pricing across metals has definitely reduced. So I think the inflation cost on non-glass products is lower now, meaning to say that we don't see that increasing. The challenge on our own production is power and fuel. And gas prices are only going upwards, unfortunately. And gas is an important contributor of our costs. So that the gas is the only price which is continuing to remain elevated. Other costs are in principle on the, I think have peaked and they're on the way down.
Have you taken any pricing action for that?
Yeah, we took some price increases during the quarter as well. But I think that covers all the increased prices so far. So, or rather increased costs so far. So I don't see any further price increases in the short run.
Okay, thank you so much and all the best, sir.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Manav Vijay from Deep Financial Consultant Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you very much, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Sir, one question regarding the CapEx that you guys are doing. So there actually some slight confusion. So quarter four, you had mentioned that the total CapEx between both the divisions is close to 450 crores. So there was an article in which you mentioned that actually total CapEx is now increased to actually 645 crores. You mentioned the same figure even in your AGM. Now, in today's press release, you have given some flavor regarding the increased cost on the Larah side as well as on the borosilicate side of close to 60 crores or so. So again, so we move from 450 to 500. Again, 125 crore gap, I have been, let's say, struggling to fill that gap. Can you please help with that?
I'm sorry, I don't know where you got the 450 crore number from. I don't think I ever mentioned that number. So if you could just forward where you got that from, that would be helpful. But I think the number was always higher than 450 because in Klasspack, we had always mentioned we're going to do something like 65 crores, if I'm not mistaken. Our tubing furnace was going to be 100+ crores. And I think we had factored the Jaipur as well as I think it was more than 500, the original number itself, if I'm not mistaken. But certainly, inflation and the cost and some changes in the scope have also increased this cost by about 60 crores. And there's also the whole IT initiatives which we have taken, which would also contribute about 25 crores of CapEx, which was also, in my view, announced before. So I'm not sure where that 450 number is coming from. It was, I think, more closer to 550. But yes, there's roughly a 60-odd crore increase. And the 625 crore number is approximately correct. This includes everything, not just the furnaces, but also includes some CapEx for our technology, our information technology systems.
Okay, fair enough. And all this CapEx gets done by quarter two or maximum quarter three next year, 2024?
By Q4 2024, I think. By March 2024.
By March 2024. Okay. Second question is regarding the assets that you had declassified last year for the sale. Any update on that?
Yeah, there's some. Look, real estate is something that it's something you put it in the market, and then it's a little bit of luck also. So I think one of the three assets which are put up are hopefully on the last legs of the transaction. And maybe in Q2 or early Q3, all for that. The other two, we are still hoping to find something. We have already given the mandate to companies to liquidate these assets, but we are still waiting to get offers which are acceptable.
Okay. My next question is regarding actually regarding your other income. So last year, you booked in total 24.5 crores of other income, of which roughly 14 crore was actually gain on fair value, I believe, some of the liquid investments that you are holding. So because of that. Now, in quarter one, since the interest rates have moved on the reverse side, so I believe that you have booked some losses. Is it possible for you to actually mention that number, how much losses were booked in that liquid portfolio?
Anand, can you answer this question, please?
Yeah. So we do not hold significant instruments, basically, which has a longer duration. So there are about only 50 crores of investment which have a longer duration and where I have a mark-to-market impact. So that impact is not more than 21 lakh rupees. So there are certain other instruments that we hold, which is in the form of alternates as well as the real estate funds. And moreover, the liquid fund returns have been lower as and when we are using the liquid fund returns. So that's the reason why the income is lower in this quarter.
But last year, I think you have to talk about the fireside one also, no?
That's right. The last quarter, the income on investments was higher because of a one-time income that was given. There was an unusual income which was distributed by one of the alternate funds, which was fireside where we hold. So that income was approximately 4.5 crores in quarter one.
Okay. Okay. And the probability of, again, any kind of an M2M benefit coming in, this is considering, let's say, the environment or the interest rate, is low?
So we can hold these instruments to maturity. I mean, it's not that we have to liquidate these instruments today.
Sure. Okay, fair enough. My last question would be, sir. Sir, so for your three costs, power, packaging, and freight, these three costs put together form roughly 16% of your sales. Now, you have given some flavor regarding the power cost where you are still facing higher cost due to the gas prices. If you can elaborate more on packaging and on freight, are you seeing any kind of respite on that?
See, packaging prices, costs have come down in the last 3 months. Rather, and let me rephrase that. They started coming down in April, May, June, and they started increasing again now in the last couple of weeks. However, these are not dramatic increases or reductions. These are nominal and I would say routine. There was a dramatic increase, sustained dramatic increase in the last year, which has stopped happening. So there's some level of stability there. And I would say that the general cost of packaging is with a downward trend. If I have to look at it holistically from the beginning of the year to now. On the freight, also import freights, containers were at a very high level. And I think till July, they were very high. But in August, I'm seeing a reduction in import freight. At least these are the initial signs. Whether that sustains or not, it's only God can answer that question. I don't know. It was so volatile, this market of freight, which was actually very stable for years on end. Suddenly, the volatility is very high. So, but what I can tell you is freights have started coming down, at least on the container side. Look, domestic freight has not changed much because fuel prices are constant or they're changing very little. So domestic, the freight which we use from our warehouse to the end customer, that does not much change. But the main impact of freight was import freight, and that we are seeing some relief.
Thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Aditi Patel from Niveshaay. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. So, I have three questions. So, first, my question is pertaining to the scientific division. I wanted to understand the competition that we are facing from the plastic instruments in the scientific pair. So, do we have any particular threat from the plastic instruments or any of the instruments are able to replace our glass products? And then my second question is regarding to the opalware segment. I wanted to understand the, because of the melamine price and the opalware price difference, opalware was demanded till now, but because melamine prices are coming in competition with the opalware segment, so do we expect that melamine will again take over the market? So if you can elaborate and then I'll be asking the third question.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't get your name.
Aditi.
Aditi, yeah. So Aditi, the first question you asked, I think I answered this in detail in the last quarterly conference call, if I'm not mistaken. So it'd be great if you could check that. But I repeat myself. I don't know why this question is coming up. There is no switch. Again, I'm repeating, there is no switch from plastic to glass. Okay? The plastic to glass switch that had to happen in healthcare and biotech happened 20 years ago. Okay. At the moment, we don't see in pharmaceutical industry any switch happening from plastic to glass. Whatever experiments have to be done in glass can only be done in glass because of certain properties. You can heat glass. You can cool glass. Glass is very neutral. It doesn't leach and so on and so forth. For whatever
okay.
experiments can be done in plastic, which are for use and throw, which require any touch of human, the blood or there's any genetics involved, where you're very fearful of cross-contamination, that will not be done in glass. That will be done in plastic. So there is no switch per se. Yes, there is a situation when biotech industry and healthcare testing is increasing in leaps and bounds because of COVID and so on. So growth of plastic may be higher than growth of glass. That I think is a very reasonable statement to make. But to say there's a dramatic shift happening from glassware to plastic, at least we have not experienced it in any of our customers. And it would be great if people are saying this, they should back it up with data. So that is the first point. As far as the second point is concerned, the The question on melamine, no, we don't see this as competition, no matter the pricing, because melamine, there's a clear understanding that plastic, eating out of plastic is not good for you, it's not good for health. Melamine is not the right material at all to eat out of. So we don't see melamine as competition to Opal. It has very few use cases. It could be used for children where there is some fear that the glass will break, the Opal glass can break. So it will be used for children, and their food, but not widely as a substitute for Opal glass. I hope that answers your second question.
Yeah, okay. And so for the Opalware, like if I see the margins, if I compare it with the competitors, our margin is a little low. So are we considering any price, considered it is sold at the same price? So can you elaborate on that? Like we are selling the same product with a little margin, a less margin. So could you elaborate on that?
Yeah, the same. This question has also been answered probably every quarter. So please again, just look at the earlier transcripts. The only difference between our price, our margins and competitors' margins would be the advertising and sales promotion expenses, which we spend about 8% of our turnover on advertising and sales promotion, which maybe a competitor, because they have been around for much longer and they have much more established brand in opalware category, they don't need to spend that much. Okay, so they spend maybe less than 1%, so about 7% gap as per my calculation is that. And there are 2-3% further gap, which could be basis of economies of scale, efficiencies or pricing. You could put all of that in a bucket of 2-3%. But the bulk of the gap is coming from advertising, where our expenses are higher.
Okay, sir. Got it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amit Agarwal from Perman Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Srivan, on the opalware, would we have some inventory to address our Q2 demand, which is seasonally high?
Sadly, no, we are very low on inventory. So as I think Rahul asked earlier in the call, we are looking to maybe buy some inventory and sell it, buy some white products and sell it, but that's the best we can do.
And would that be import-dependent or are there any domestic manufacturing for opalware?
That is confidential. So, sorry, I can't answer that question.
Next is on the margins of glassware. So, even from the glassware, scientific glassware margin seems to decline. Any specific reason other than the cost inflation to highlight?
No, there's the cost inflation is one aspect of it. We have started spending more money on research and development, on our design expenses. We've hired a lot of people. So there is we are gearing ourselves up for growth. So for growth, we need new products. For new products, we need people to design and develop those products. So in Borosil Technologies, for example, we have invested a fair bit of money in recruitment of talent. And this is one of the main reasons our costs have increased. The second, of course, we discussed was the power and fuel prices, which are more inflated. And the third reason is it takes a little bit of time. These exceptional cost increases which happened last year, it takes a little bit of time to pass it on. So by Q2, Q3, those price increases would have been fully passed on to the end customer. So these are the reasons. But I would just like to highlight that my goal has never been short-term margins. It's been long-term growth. And I'd be happy to sacrifice short-term margins to get that long-term growth. At the moment, that sacrifice is coming by way of higher people cost and higher development cost in the scientific business, that is.
Got it. And in the scientific, what is our long-term margin outlook? What kind of margins we can potentially make here?
See, potentially EBITDA margins north of 25%, I think should be achievable, north of 25% in the long term.
Got it. And one final question in terms of our power and fuel, what would be the gas related cost?
That is, I'll have to come back to you on that.
Sure. And just last, is there any capex related cost which are reflected in our P&L? So because of additional employee, because of the,
Yes. So for example, in Lara, we have started hiring people already for the new furnace. And obviously the project people are, they're capitalized, but many of the operational people are already reflected there. And same, I mean, of course, like, well, like I give you the example of scientific, we have all the research and development team. They're already a part of the, I would say, the cost structure, but we are not able to get any or as much revenue as possibly we should from them yet. So those are there. What percentage actually, you know, this is a good question, and probably I should have done some homework on this, but I don't have that answer for you right now.
No worries. Thank you so much, Sridhar.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Keval Ashar from DSP Investment Manager. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Sridhar, you mentioned that you guys are entering into filter paper market, which is a 100 crore annual market. So just wanted to understand, at what rate is this market growing?
8%, 6%-8%.
Got it. And what is the export? So do we have an export opportunity in this market as well, in this?
No. Right now it's domestic. Once we, right now we're not manufacturing this filter paper, we are importing it, in fact. But our agreement involves ability to get into manufacturing, should the sales pick up in the, in a faster way. And then once we have that, then we could export it. But right now, we are not looking at exports, mostly for the domestic market.
Understood. And last thing is, you mentioned there's only a single player dominating this market. So what would be organized versus unorganized share in this filter paper market? If you can
see this, the unorganized maybe 25-30% only.
Okay. Got it. Thanks a lot and all the best for that.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Amrish Kakkar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a good quarter. So my first question is relating to the context is on the evolution of the fixed physical distribution, offline distribution network. So we've done a lot of work on the e-commerce side, especially with the product innovation. I think we're constantly tweaking stuff online. We can now see trending products. We can see new products, etc. So you can see the work there. On the physical side, I'm just trying to understand a little better. You've explained a little in the annual report on the DMS investment and so on. But if you could just provide some sort of update on, say, current glassware, non-glassware distribution, any planned targets, and anything qualitative on whether, you know, our product range is now so large that we might think of own stores or anything you could share on this.
Look, offline distribution is, look, our business has five channels, okay? And each channel has its own strengths and its own team that look after the channel. So it's not that we are like favoring or spending more of our resources on one channel versus the other. We're doing what's right for that channel. So specifically, if I have to answer your question, in offline, we have about 17,000 retail outlets. And our goal is, we are weaker in South and in West. So our goal is to add about 1,000 retail outlets, 1,000 to 1,500 retail outlets, specifically in those two geographies on a yearly basis. The second thing is, while we believe the universe may be somewhere in the 25 to 30,000 outlets kind of range, it's not that by adding, you know, another 13,000 outlets, we'll have proportionally increase in sales, because we already cover, let's say, the A-class or a large portion of the A-class outlets, and maybe the smaller ones that we are not covering. But the goal is definitely to sell most of our ranges through all our outlets. So that's an area of upselling and cross-selling, which we are kind of focusing on, and that's only possible with the use of technology. So you mentioned DMS. We have a technology called Field Assist, or rather a software called Field Assist, which allows us to understand the daily sales of our products from our distributors to retailers, product-wise, product category-wise. So we know which retailer is selling what product on a day-to-day basis, and we can compare it with what's happening in that territory for other retailers. So we can give inputs to retailers on what you know, products specifically they should be carrying, what categories are doing well. And if end of day, by our consultation, the retailer is able to make more throughput from per square foot of his shop or her shop, then they will be automatically become more loyal to us. And that data is something that we are looking to develop and drive. And already in the first quarter, we had some, you know, reasonable successes here where we were able to clearly show to some retailers that this is helping, and those guys. So we've been monitoring how much more we're cross-selling and upselling from the existing retailers. So this is also, I think, a very big step for us to be more data-oriented as an organization and use that data for better decision-making and better advice to our channel partners. And I think that will stand us in very good stead. We are not planning at the moment to open any stores. We believe myborosil.com is the best store in the world, and everyone has access to it. It's not at one physical location. It's online. And we have an entire product category over there. So we would encourage anyone who wants to see the whole range just to go to myborosil.com and, you know, shop up that and see the experience there. We believe it's a pretty good experience.
No, thank you. I can vouch for that. Just as a follow-on, we've talked about, for example, My Borosil or the e-commerce channel being a very good way for us to get to Tier 2, Tier 3. And I'm just trying to understand whether the physical... So you talked about geographic expansion into the south, but whether the smaller towns also become more relevant for our target segment as time goes by. And it's only raising this question because a lot of the other larger appliance players are now talking about even Tier 4 and Tier 5 towns. Is there any thought on this?
No, we are far away from that, frankly. Tier 2 and 3 would be good for us. And, you know, we are not a large company yet. Our consumer revenues are less than 100 crores last year. So we have a long way to go. So we'll do it step by step. There's no rush to do something and then falling. So we'd rather do things sustainably. So first let us, you know, get into Tier 2 and 3. And then we can, you know, take the next step after that. But I think we're putting the right building blocks in place.
No, thank you. Second question is just on the CapEx and the planned debt. If you have any further visibility, I know you've mentioned you might need to take some debt for a short period. Is there any visibility you have now on to complete this CapEx by March 24?
Yeah. I think the total debt we may need is about, at peak, about 200 crores, if I'm not mistaken, in that ballpark. So far, we've not needed it because our, you know, the whatever CapEx so far we've done is within the cash we had at the beginning, plus the operational cash flows which you're getting on a monthly basis. But yeah, I think going forward, up to 200 crores of debt is probably what we will require for the short run, which I think our operating cash flow should take care of within a year and a half. So yeah, that's all I have for you at the moment.
No, that's good. Thank you. All the best for the coming quarters. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Mohit Jangir from IH Consultancy. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I hope I'm audible.
Yeah. Please go ahead. Yeah.
Thanks for the opportunity, Shiva sir. So I have three questions. First question is on the SIP business. So what are the normalized EBITDA margins which we are expecting in the SIP business post-demerger? And once the tubing plant is also operational, then what kind of expansion can we see in the EBITDA margins of SIP business?
The SIP business, I think 25%, as I said earlier in this call, 25% EBITDA margins we should be able to achieve in general in the SIP business as post the demerger. As far as the tubing operations are concerned, look, the main reason to do tubing is for surety of supply. The EBITDA expansion may happen as a result of it, but that's not the main reason to do it. The main reason is that we are today dependent on imports of tubing from China, and we believe there's a good substitute here. But I don't necessarily think it may expand the margin beyond the 25% that we're talking. Of course, we'll be able to sustain that margin, maybe grow it by a couple of percentage points, but I don't see a major expansion in the margin as a result of the tubing plant. Yes, the revenues will go up because we can sell tubing for other applications. So revenues will definitely go up, but percentage margin may not expand.
Okay, got it. So the second question is on the consumer business side. So what was the percentage cost of advertising and sales promotion in our Q1 results?
That's a good question. I think it should be about 7-8%. But Rajesh, can you confirm this?
Yeah, it's in the range of 5-6%.
Okay, so in the first quarter,
5% of consumer product business or overall sales?
This is for the consumer products.
Only consumer products, okay.
Yeah, because we don't need to do that for the scientific.
Okay, no, it is on overall sales or only consumer product sales? The number?
Consumer product sales.
Consumer sales.
Consumer sales, okay. So my last question is on the Borosilicate glass plant which we are setting up in Jaipur. So while we have a consumer glassware units in Bharuch or Ankleshwar, I think, we will be manufacturing the Borosilicate glass in Jaipur and supplying it to Bharuch. So is my understanding correct?
No. Whatever is made in Jaipur will be shipped directly from Jaipur to our customers.
Okay. And will it be an electric furnace or...
Yes, all electric, 100% electric furnace.
So are we looking to sign any private PPAs because to mitigate that higher electricity cost?
Yeah, you know, there's a very new, interesting new law come out, which allows us to buy power across state grids, across state lines, without too much billing charges. So we're just trying to understand this new law. And this means if this law we can use, then we can probably set up a solar wind hybrid project and buy all our power from that. And that will dramatically reduce the cost of power and have a very good payback for us.
Okay, got it. Thank you. This is from my side. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vipul Anupchand Shah from Sumangal Investment. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question is regarding pharma packaging business. It has shown a decline year over year. So can you attribute any reason for that?
Yeah, last year we had a very large increase in demand for vials, specifically for remdesivir, which was a COVID drug. And obviously this year there's zero demand for that. So a large chunk of our sale was a, like let's say a one-time sale last year. But it's actually in spite of that decline, if you compare FY23 versus FY21 quarter, Q1, you'll find that there was a last year, we had a 70% growth over the same quarter of the previous year. That's 2 years ago. So now that we grew 70% and then now we're down 5%. So we still have a very healthy CAGR, let's call it. So other businesses we've been able to add, but we lost this one business. Not didn't lose it, but that it just business just went away. So actually it was not a bad performance at all for the pharma, packaging business. And last year the overall growth of that business was more than 60%. So I think even if we grow 10, 15, 20% this year, it would still be a very good level because that would be kind of a consolidation of the non-COVID business going away and some new customers being added. So net-net, if you can sustain that big jump and grow a little bit more on top of that, I think it would be a good outcome.
Okay. And so within the scientific business, pharma packaging will have higher EBITDA as compared to laboratory glassware and instrumentation?
No, it's lower. It's much lower.
It's much lower? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And sir, lastly, regarding this proposed duty on opalware, what will be the implication for the company?
Well, I don't think it's proposed. I think it's action now. So there's no proposed anymore. It's done. There's no real implication except that whatever duty was currently there continues for the next 5 years. So there's no change in status quo, frankly.
Okay, it was already existing.
Yeah, it was existing for the last 5 years.
Okay, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next person to ask question is Mr. Praveen. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. So I have a two question, Sriwar. One relates to the pharma packaging, as you are doing some capex as well. What's the revenue opportunity out of that CapEx, and what's your annual target for the pharma packaging division?
Look, I think internally we believe that we can double the business in the next 4 years in pharma packaging. And if last year we did roughly 100 crores, can we do 200 crores by 26? Yes, I think it's very possible to achieve that. And that's something we would be driving towards. As far as the CapEx for that doubling, we would probably need about 65 crores, which I already mentioned. Mm-hmm. There are also other opportunities beyond this in pharma packaging, which are quite attractive. We are evaluating that as we speak. And if something comes about there, then we'll have to spend more CapEx to make that happen. But that's still on the drawing board. So we'll come to it when the time is right.
Great. Now, the next question is related to the non-glass consumer division, where we had seen a very good, strong growth for a quarter. And that's almost a 40% contribution to your consumer division right now. So can you elaborate on that, which product is getting a more traction, and do you believe this contribution numbers to continue in the similar run rate in the rest of the years?
Yeah, look, I think we've done a fantastic job. Our team has done a fantastic job in stretching the brand beyond the glass, okay? So Borosil was a transparent glassware brand, then we added Lara, and now we added, steel and and appliances. So Hydra and appliances and stainless steel cookware. So the traction has been really phenomenal beyond our own expectations. And I think this traction is very much likely to continue. And in fact, the demand for those products is increasing a lot, especially, for example, your Hydra bottles, because people don't want to drink in plastic bottles anymore. So these steel bottles are incredibly cost effective, value for money, and also they keep your water hot or cold as you like for 24 hours. So it's a really high value product, and there's a lot of utility for customers. And therefore, we think these bottles are here to stay. And with bottles, you have designs, you have so many things you can play with. We are the sponsors of the Indian Olympic Association. So the whole sporty, it goes into the gyms, it goes into schools for kids, obviously for work, for both men and women who are going to work carrying their own water. So all of this, it's a very large market opportunity, and we've captured it reasonably well, I would say. So that has done very well for us, and appliances across the board have done very well for us. So both those are the major contributors to the non-glassware.
And these have a similar margin to your consumer division, or?
The margin is a bit lower, but frankly, monitoring margin is one thing on this front. Monitoring return on capital is much more interesting, because we have to look at the times, because there's no capex here. It's only working capital that's deployed here. So if I'm able to rotate my inventory and my receivables, four times and generate 24% ROCE on my business, I'm very happy here.
Great, great. Thank you, Srivar. That's it from my side.
Thank you. As there are no further questions, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Okay, so thanks everyone for your questions. I hope I was able to answer them to your satisfaction. It was a very good quarter, and I think the best is definitely yet to come. We are very bullish on the future, and with our new production capacities coming in later this year for Opal and next year for the press items, plus growth, new categories and scientific products kicking in. I think we're really well placed for the long run. So that's our vision, not to look at every quarter, but look at how we can achieve, market leadership in 3 years, 5 years, 10 years. And that's what we'll be gunning for. So thank you for your support, and see you in a few months.
Thank you. On behalf of Edelweiss Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.